Isaac, and she faithfully followed Abraham on his journey towards the promised land. And Sarah's son Isaac married Rebekah, who became the mother of Jacob and grandmother of Joseph, who was very prominent in the history of Israel, although Rebekah had a few problems with favoritism and scheming among her boys. Then we have one perhaps not quite so well known, Jochebed. Perhaps you didn't know her name, but she was the mother of Moses, and at the time he was born, she showed great faith in God by placing her baby in a bulrush basket on the river and trusting that someone would find and raise him, rather than him being slaughtered as a Hebrew baby under 2 years, which was the order at that time. And as the story goes, she was called upon to nurse her own child, being looked after by Pharaoh's daughter, ensuring that he had a godly upbringing in his most formative years, which no doubt was good preparation for his leadership in the years ahead. She saved him so he might save others. We cannot leave out Hannah. Interesting that along with Sarah and Rebekah, she was barren for many years and prayed earnestly for a child. And when that prayer was fulfilled, she was so overwhelmed with thankfulness to God that she actually took him along to the temple to be left there to dedicate his life to God. And he, Samuel, became one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. Can you imagine praying for something for so many years, and then when the prayer is answered, giving back to God that which he has given you, which you've prayed for so long? And yet we're told how God blessed Hannah so much more, with several more children after that. What about Bathsheba? Don't hear about her much, really. A sad story of David's lust and deceit in order that her husband, Uriah the Hittite, should be killed so that he could have her for himself. As a result of which, their first child died. Yet Bathsheba remained loyal to David, and their second son, Solomon, became one of the greatest kings of Israel. And continuing on down the line of David, we eventually come to Jesus, the Son of God. Which, of course, brings us to Mary, the most amazing mother in the world, who, as a very young unmarried girl, although it would seem to bring disgrace on her among her peers, was very willing to allow God to use her for the most special purpose of bringing Jesus into the world as a baby, so that he could be fully human as well as fully divine for the time he was here. Her immediate and ready acceptance of God's will for her life is recorded in the Bible for all to see. I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to do whatever he wants. So here we see a variety of mothers, most of whom had to trust the Lord in one way or another to become the kind of mother that God was calling them to be. And from these mothers came some of the greatest men who were extremely influential in the roles that God had for them in the future. I think the one thing we can learn from this is that we never know just exactly what the future holds for our children and our following generations after them. And so the most important thing is for us to be guided by God as we seek his will for the way we live our own lives. We're only human, so we need the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we seek to live our lives the way God wants us to. So I'd like to share now from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26, but I'm reading from the Living Bible translation. I advise you to obey only the Holy Spirit's instructions. He will tell you where to go and what to do, and then you won't always be doing the wrong things your evil nature wants you to. For we naturally love to do evil things that are just the opposite from the things that the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And the good things we want to do when the Spirit has his way with us are just the opposite of our natural desires. These two forces within us are constantly fighting each other to win control over us, and our wishes are never free from their pressures. When you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you need no longer force yourself to obey Jewish laws. But when you follow your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results: impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, spiritism, that is, encouraging the activity of demons, hatred and fighting, jealousy and anger, constant effort to get the best for yourself, complaints and criticisms, the feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group, and there will be wrong doctrine, envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and all that sort of thing. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here there is no conflict with Jewish laws. Those who belong to Christ have nailed their natural evil desires to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Then we won't need to look for honors and popularity, which lead to jealousy and hard feelings. If you look at this reading in the Bible, you will see that the larger part of it is pretty negative. Have you noticed that whenever you listen to the news, the majority of it seems to be something that you would rather not listen to? It seems as though the bad things that happen are much more newsworthy than anything good. And yet I've read so many accounts of where ordinary people, such as ourselves, are going out of their way to encourage others who are in difficult situations, either by paying for their groceries when they've discovered they haven't enough money on them, or by stopping on the road to help change a wheel, or give a lift to someone who needs to be somewhere and they don't have transport, or by giving 100% tip to a waitress at a restaurant just to bless them. And so many other instances where you just feel so encouraged that the world is not all bad after all. Yet as we read in Galatians, we realize that it is so true that often it is the negative feelings that tend to take hold of our lives. We're so busy running our lives the way we think they should go that we forget to ask the Holy Spirit to show us the way. We are always in such a rush, and so our human nature takes over, where we should be stopping to ask the Holy Spirit what we should do or say. As it says, we naturally love to do evil things that are just the opposite from the things the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And the good things we want to do when the Spirit has his way with us are just the opposite of our natural desires. Now, don't think that all the things we want to do are necessarily evil as such, but they may not be what the Spirit requires of us. So if we look down at verses 22 and 23, we see that when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, we will produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now you might well say, I'm a very patient kind of person, but I'm not very gentle always, or I have a lot of self-control, but don't seem to have much joy.